Well, hey everybody, Darren Garman here, the Paranoid Banker and manager of Heartland Investment Partners. I want to welcome you to June's Fireside Chat. Now, you're either checking out the Fireside Chat either on video or maybe through our podcast. And so, however you're with us today, I want to welcome you. Good to have you. Good to have you aboard. Now, for those of you that have been with me a while, you pretty much know the format of the Fireside Chat. But I know that every month we have newer folks that do join us. So let me just take just a minute to give you an idea. What is the Fireside Chat? What's it all about? Why are you communicating with us either on video or through podcast? What's the point? Well, first of all, the Fireside Chat's format is, if you're on video, you can see I'm dressed pretty informally. So I've got polo shirt on, I've got my khaki shorts on. And that's kind of how the Fireside Chat is. It's basically a format where I consider myself sitting and chatting among friends. So I consider you a friend of mine. So just like we'd be at your favorite restaurant, your favorite coffee shop, heck, your favorite sports bar, or whatever. Just like us sitting around, having a few drinks, maybe having a cup of coffee, having a glass of wine, and just chatting. Talking about matters that have to do with real estate and investment real estate. So that's really the format of the Fireside Chat every month, is really me sitting down among friends, you, and really having what I would call an informal conversation, again, like we're out together having a drink, having a couple of beers maybe, a cup of coffee, a glass of wine, what have you. Okay. So that's the format of the Fireside Chat, and that's the way that it's always been. All right, and so now that you know pretty much what the Fireside Chat is about and what to expect, let's jump into what I want to talk about this month, which is what I would call the five biggest myths of real estate investing. Now, I've been involved in real estate investing now going on over 25 years, and have seen a lot of things, have experienced a lot of things, both good and bad. So I've got a lot of experience and I've seen a lot, but when it comes down to what I would call the biggest myths that I run into, the biggest roadblocks, heck, I could call it roadblocks, the biggest things that might stop people from investing in real estate. And a lot of these things are misinformation, which is why they're called a myth, obviously. And a lot of things that people may have maybe held in their mind that might be holding them back from getting involved in a really good real estate property. And so I run across these myths quite often. And so again, if I would sit down and really condense what are the most frequent things that I run across, these are the five most frequent myths that I run across. And I thought it would be really good for all of us to really chat about these, especially coming from me, someone that's been around the block a few times, so to speak, regarding investment real estate and these myths. Okay, and I think the information ultimately can be very beneficial to you. So let's go over those myths. Let's go ahead and let's start out with myth number one. Is the biggest one is, I have no interest in investing in real estate because I've got to be a landlord. I've got to deal with tenants, I've got to deal with toilets, I've got to deal with evictions, I've got to know landlord-tenant law, I've got to know building codes, I've got to deal with the city housing people, I've got to deal with government subsidy programs, and heck, even if you decide to have a management company involved where you don't have to deal with that, heck, I still got to deal with a management company, Darren, so I'm still dealing with them. And talking with them about stuff I still don't know much about. And so when a lot of people have a serious thought about, I think I should maybe invest or diversify a little bit with what I've got. Maybe I should put some money in real estate. The next thought is maybe we should own our own real estate. Then a lot of times the next thought, oh, wait a minute, no. I don't want to deal with that landlord crap. I don't want to deal with that at all. And the good news is that is a myth. You can actively own real estate and not have to do any kind of landlording at all, okay? Not in the least. And so our over 250 partners now that are involved in active ownership of a wide variety of real estate properties with us. They're not involved in any of the landlording stuff. They're not involved in any of the management. Heck, they're not involved in any kind of management decisions whatsoever. The only main decisions they're involved in is, hey, do we sell something and do we make some money when we sell it? Do we buy something? Do we buy another property? Do we maybe refinance and buy another property? Do we refinance our loan? So kind of the bigger major financial things our partners are informed on and involved in. But when it comes to the daily cares of being a landlord, none of them have anything to do with it. And that's exactly the way that they want it. Now, the good news is they've got active owner benefits, so they get all the benefits of owning real estate as if they were the landlord, okay? But they don't have to be the landlord. And so I can tell you, out of the hundreds and hundreds of our partners, easily 25-30% of them initially thought they would have to be some kind of a landlord or take a landlord role, which prevented them from getting involved in really good real estate investments for a number of years, until, you know, they figured out that, hey, I don't have to be a landlord and I can still own real estate. Now, I'm not specifically talking about if you get involved with just me, that's the case. There are other real estate investments and avenues you can get involved in where you can be an active owner and not be a landlord of properties, or not even have to deal with any of the management too. So mine's not the only, you know, book on the shelf with regarding that, so to speak, but you can do it. You don't have to be a landlord. So don't let that thought, don't let the thought of all of the education you need, all of the risk you might have to take, and all of the, I'll just plainly say it, BS you got to go through to be a landlord, don't let that stop you, because you can own really good real estate properties actively without having to be a landlord or have any of those landlord kind of responsibilities. Okay, so that's myth number one, and that's the good news. And that brings me to, actually, it's a good segue to myth number two, because after I have this conversation with people, or a conversation similar to it, the next question that comes up then is, oh, so you must be talking about buying a REIT. REIT is REIT, and it's the acronym for Real Estate Investment Trust. That's what it stands for. And so what a real estate investment trust is, it's a company, a publicly traded, for the most part, there are private companies too, but for the most part, publicly traded companies that go out and buy large chunks of apartments, shopping centers, industrial properties, and you can be an owner in those properties by owning part of the company, thereby being a passive real estate owner by getting involved with a REIT. So the biggest myth about a real estate investment trust, though I think they can be really good investments, is that they're the only way to go to be a passive owner in investment real estate. And the answer is absolutely not. And as a matter of fact, I can make an argument where I think REITs can actually be a disadvantage. Well, what do you mean, Darren? How can a REIT be a disadvantage? Well, when you buy a REIT, you're not actually buying the property. Okay. So unlike, for example, our partnerships, for example, our flagship fund. So if you're one of our partners in the flagship fund that owns, you know, tens of millions of dollars in real estate properties here in the Heartland, you actively own those properties. You actively own a piece of those properties. Okay? But when you buy into a real estate investment trust, you buy into a company. So you buy stock in a company that owns the real estate. You're not actively buying the real estate. Okay, and there's a big difference there. There's a big difference because at the end of the day, what you're really doing is making a stock investment. That's really what you're doing. So you're buying stock in a company and you're waiting for it to pay you some, you know, hopefully some dividends and some capital gains and those kinds of things. But you're not really buying real estate. You're just buying stock in a company that buys real estate. There's a big difference there. Okay. So a lot of people think that because they buy a REIT, they actually own real estate. Well, not really. You own a company that stock in a company that actually owns real estate. You don't own directly as a partner ownership in those properties. Okay, so think about that. And believe me, there's a lot of reasons why you want to be a direct owner of real estate properties, not just from an income standpoint or a cash flow standpoint or an appreciation standpoint, but there's really nice tax benefits, there's good tax deferral benefits, there's a lot of things involved as being a direct owner that you can't get by owning stock in a real estate investment trust. Again, I think some real estate investment trusts are great investments, so I'm not knocking that as an investment. That's not my point. The point I want you to understand is that is not the only way of being a passive real estate owner, and it's not really even being a real real estate owner because you only own stock in a company that owns real estate. You don't directly own the real estate. Okay, so I just want to make sure that that I was clear about that. Okay, now let's move on to the third myth, and this one right behind being a landlord is really the second most popular myth out there regarding real estate investing. And that is, hey, real estate's complicated. I don't want to get involved in any real estate. It's complicated. I got to know the real estate market. I got to know the rents. I got to know what rents are on commercial properties. I got to know what rents are on residential properties. What are the one-bedroom rents for? What are the two-bedroom? What if I've got a subsidized property? Do the rents change there? What if I have to deal with the government on subsidy programs? What happens there? Are there tax credits when I buy property? So look, I could go on and on and on and cover just a variety of things that most people think about, get concerned about, and then decide, you know, it sounds a little like way too much work, way too much brain surgery, so to speak, for me. I don't think I want to be involved in it. And the good news is, it's not complicated at all. Again, similar to being a landlord, you don't have to know really much about anything in order to be a successful real estate owner and investor, okay? Because you can get involved in partnerships, you can get involved in other investments, maybe even similar to what we do here in the Heartland that might be going on close to where you live, where you're really getting involved in an investment where someone that runs the investment, that runs the partnership, that runs the company, that runs and manages the real estate, that manages the assets, they know all of that stuff. Okay? You don't have to know any of that. They know all of that. They've got employees that know all of that, employees that deal with all that. At the end of the day, you can just simply invest and let them worry about all those, you know, details. Similar to And so I'm not comparing myself to Warren Buffett. I'm not doing that at all. But think about Berkshire Hathaway. Why do people, why do tens of thousands of people go to their conference once a year? Why do people fight over getting involved in investing in Berkshire Hathaway? Why do people do that? Bottom line is, it's not because of any investment genius that they've got on their part. It's not because of any work they do or an investment background checks they do or any kind of investing work or due diligence they do. They're just riding Warren Buffett's coattails. That's what they're doing. They're putting their money in an investment where someone, Warren Buffett and his managers, are running the show. Okay, it's the same kind of thing that we're talking about here. Okay, Berkshire Hathaway buys and owns companies that are more complicated than you'll ever know, right? But when people invest in Berkshire Hathaway, they're not worried about all that. They're just worried about investing. Same thing goes with real estate. For some reason, a lot of people think real estate's different than that. No, I got to know all this stuff. No, you don't. You don't, and it's not complicated at all, not in the least bit. And so you don't have to take any, the good news is you don't have to take any night classes. You don't have to take any online classes. If you want to, fine. You don't have to do any of that to understand it. It's not complicated. It's easy, easy to understand, and it's easy to get involved in as well. Okay, so make sure you understand that. That's a big deal. And once again, it's probably the second, what I would consider, most popular myth that I hear among investors regarding investing in real estate. Okay. Holy cow, we've already covered three myths. So let's go ahead and let's jump into myth number four. Okay. Myth number four is, well, I don't want to invest in real estate because all I've really got that I want to invest right now is money in an IRA or 401k. Or similar to that, I can't invest in real estate because I can't, there's nowhere I can invest my IRA or 401k. Once again, wrong. Real estate is a great place to invest IRA or 401k dollars. That's IRA, that's Roth IRA, that's 401k. You can invest all or some or part of an IRA or 401k in real estate properties. And again, it's not difficult to do. It's pretty easy. It's a pretty simple paperwork exercise, to be honest with you. I personally have quite a bit of my IRA or 401k money invested in real estate properties. I know a lot of my partners do too. And so it's easy to do. It's not complicated. And it's very beneficial from a financial standpoint as well. Okay, so again, yes, you can. And the first thing you need to know, though, is before you can do that, you need to set up what's called a self-directed IRA account. Okay, self-directed IRA account. Now, I'm not going to go over the details on setting that up right now on this fireside chat. I'll give you information at the end of this where you can reach out to me. If you want me to get information to you, I can get you some information pretty quickly on how to do this. But I just want you to understand, it's all about setting up a self-directed IRA account where you make the choices, you make the calls on where your IRA is invested. So right now I've got, for example, I've got some IRA money invested with 20th Century Mutual Funds. Okay, now I'm not plugging them or saying that's what you should do. I'm just saying that's where I got some of my money, 20th Century. Okay, well, those fund managers, they're making all of the decisions on where my money's invested, what stocks, what companies. And so I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. But when you set up your own self-directed account, guess who makes the decision on where that money is invested in the IRA? That's right, you do. You make the decision. Okay? And one of those decisions for, you know, hundreds of our investors and partners have been Heartland Investment Real Estate, where they've parked some of their IRA or 401k dollars. Okay? So yes, you can invest IRA or 401k money in real estate. Yes, you can do it passively. Yes, it's not complicated. It's simply a paperwork exercise. As long as you set up a self-directed IRA or 401k account, and I'll give you some detail at the end of this fireside chat if you want information on how you can look into doing that. I'll get some information to you here in just a little bit. Okay. Now, we're down to number five. Okay. We're down to the fifth biggest myth when it comes to investing in real estate. And that myth is, it's an illiquid investment. I can't get my money out of it. My money is stuck there. I can't get it back. I gotta wait. I gotta sell the real estate to get my money back. I can't instantly sell it. That is a problem. Okay. That is the fifth biggest myth. Now, let me qualify what I'm going to tell you. In most people's minds, they think that, okay, for me to get my money out of an investment, they think of it as, okay, let's say my real estate investment's a single family home. All right? If I want to get my money out of it, I either have to, A, get a home equity loan and, you know, maybe borrow the money, which most people don't want to do, but that's one way of getting your money out of it, right? But most people don't want to do that. Or I gotta wait to sell it. So I gotta wait 3 months, 6 months, a year, maybe longer until my house sells in order for me to get my money. Okay? And yet, real estate does operate that way. However, I want to use the example of Heartland Investment Partners, specifically our flagship fund, that shows you that it's not necessarily as illiquid as you may think. Okay? So, for example, our Heartland Investment Partners flagship fund allows our investors to withdraw money, okay, out of Heartland Investment Partners twice a year, in March and September. So when March rolls around, if Frank needs $10,000 to take care of something, he contacts Heartland Investment Partners and can make that request to get $10,000 from Heartland Investment Partners. At the same time, if he wants to reinvest money, put more money in Heartland Investment Partners, he can do that. Okay? So in March or September, he can request what I would call a redemption and have some money sent to him. He can also, if he chooses, put money into the investment at that point in time as well. So he doesn't have to wait for the partnership to sell any properties to get his redemption. He doesn't have to wait for some event to happen to get his redemption. He can get his redemption in March, in this example, in March or September. So there are real estate investments, real estate partnerships, where you can get access to your capital if you need to in situations other than having to sell the assets in order to get it. Now, a couple of caveats about this though, couple things you need to know. Number one is how a lot of partnerships operate, and ours operates this way too, by the way, is there has to be a limit on those distributions though. Okay, so, you know, quick example. We'll go back to Frank. So Frank wants, let's say Frank has his daughter's going to college, would like to get $60,000 in tuition money out of the partnership and use for a college tuition. Okay, well, that's all well and good, but if all of the other partners in the partnership want to do the same thing, we couldn't do that, right? So if we've got, I don't know, I'll use a number, $5 million of capital that we could use for distributions or redemptions back to our partners, but we've got partners requesting $10 million of distributions back to them, we've got a problem, right? We're not able to do that. And so the thing that most partnerships have is a stopgap in place where they can make those distributions, like in this example, Heartland Investment Partners, a couple times a year if you wanted, get those redemptions back, but we can't give redemptions to everybody. You know what I mean? So there can't be what I would call a run on the bank. And so sometimes, depending on the capital structure of that partnership, there may be times where Frank might not get his $60,000. Okay? Maybe Frank might get, instead of $60,000, maybe it's going to be $30,000. Maybe he can get the $30,000 the next time, depending on the capital situation of those real estate ownerships and partnerships, along with the other redemptions that might be going on, right? So if hardly anybody's getting any redemptions, probably not a big problem. But if for some reason half of the partnership's requesting redemptions, then, you know, there could be a delay in getting all of the money back. But again, this is all happening without having to sell any properties, okay? This is all happening without having to sell any properties. And so, of course, another way to get redemptions and get money back out of real estate is, of course, to sell properties. And our partnership does that. And our partnership takes those proceeds and gets them back to our partners as a redemption and as a profit, and everybody's happy. But the point I want to make here is that you don't have to necessarily sell a property in order to get some redemptions or some of your money back out of a real estate partnership. And as a matter of fact, it can be on a schedule, maybe once every 6 months, similar to what ours is, okay, where you don't have to be concerned about that. Okay. Now, by the way, any partnership, any real estate investment, obviously, you get involved in, make sure you read very carefully any of the offering documents, whether it's private placements, whether it's operating agreements. Make sure you read carefully all of those rules and regulations regarding the redemptions and distributions so you're not caught by surprise in the event something were to come up there. Okay? And so, hey, I've gone quite a while today on those five biggest myths. I mean, we've covered quite a few things. And hopefully this has been informative to you in terms of maybe getting you to think a little bit more about investment real estate, maybe even making it a place to diversify some of your holdings too at some point in time. Maybe as a result of this information, maybe it's a little bit more attractive than what you thought it might have been in the past. Okay. And so, again, I want to thank you for joining me for June's Fireside Chat. Whether you've been with me today on video or on podcast, great to have you aboard. Great to have you with me. And thanks for being here. And before I forget, self-directed IRA 401ks, send me an email and I'll send you your own IRA or 401k kit that you can look at, review, and get started to get your own self-directed IRA going. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to send you this kit, and it's going to be all the information that you're going to need to get started. Well, how do you get the kit? Just simply send me an email at Darren@HeartlandInvestmentPartners.com. That's Darren@HeartlandInvestmentPartners.com. Send me an email. Say, hey, Darren, I'd like you to send me the IRA or 401k kit. We'll get that kit sent out to you, and you can get started opening up your own self-directed IRA account. Okay? Thanks, everybody. Have a great day. Have a great month. We'll see you later. Take care.